know what got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race can change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 217. Sarion / LA recap. We're going to do a bit of a double hit here. Big weekend in the BMX world, Palm Daddy.
Huge, some may say. Huge weekend. Little bit of, we missed one race. One day got canceled. The World Cup doesn't matter. One exciting day and a USA BMX Pro Series race going on in a new location. Lots to talk about. Lots to have fun and chat about.
We'll talk about how there were 6 French guys in the World Cup main.
Dude.
It's like, I'm not surprised, but it's still unbelievable.
It's incredible. The fact that it's just, they cleaned up. They did exactly what we said they would do and everyone expected them to do. And it's still shocking somehow.
You can't give the French team a home World Cup.
It's just insane, dude. It's unbelievable.
You can't do it. I think moving forward, we can't have it.
What was it? Both semis or were there was 50% French guys in both semis, or at least in the one there was 50, the other one there was 3 guys. Insane.
Yeah, it was a joke, but we'll get into it. We'll also go through LA. We'll talk about Cam. He's very much back. Ricardo, Joey Lito, all those guys. ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Saya, I mean, she's an adopted French rider now. Great start on the ProGate Europe on her way to a World Cup win.
Incredible. She obviously trains at Sarion's a lot, I think, now. She trains on that ProGate Europe, and it shows, dude. She pops one off when it counted, and it's pretty evident that she practices on one. You know, she doesn't practice on Joe Smelmore's gate that he built in his backyard with a, fucking welder and shit,
Fucking welder and shit. No, if you're on a pro gate, you're feeling the best in the business.
Best in the business. So that's where you got to go get yours today. Email them, reach out. Your track needs one. You want one. Go get it.
So I went up to the USA BMX National and City of Industry this weekend in LA. Cool venue, actually. It's an outdoor stadium on top of the side of a hill, really. It's pretty cool. I liked it.
Cool. I wanted to ask about that, because the video showed that it was it looked like it was probably one of those, would you call it a horse barn? They're probably doing some horse stuff in there, you think?
For sure. When I looked it up online to find the address,
yeah,
they were showing a cow show or something.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I figured it was. But at the same time, it looked nice in the fact that, dude, some of the pillars and stuff had rock around it, rock finishing. It looked really nice and clean and classy on the inside there.
It was cool. It felt very California. It was a covered open stadium, pretty big. I would say comparable to probably an Albuquerque DeSoto type size.
Yeah.
It's probably bigger than a typical indoor track. And then it was on top of a hill, so it's kind of cool. You got a view over the valley. It was beautiful weather, so you got kind of a breeze through, but it was in the shade, so it wasn't too hot. That was all really good. Track was, I'd say, decent for just built for the race, certainly better than a Reno or whatever.
Better than a Reno, hey?
The parking was a problem. I'm going to say
really?
The parking was a problem. there was five, because it's on the side of a hill. There was five lots. There was a red, blue, green, yellow, fucking whatever.
Okay.
There was 5 lots.
Yeah.
The first day, so I drove up Friday morning. I get there Friday, an hour before racing starts. And I go to, I pay for my parking, and I talk it to the guy, and he's like, okay, well, the lot up right by the track is full, so go to that one. I was like, oh, okay, that's too bad. And he's like, yeah, but he told me, he's like, I've seen people get into fights with knives over parking spots up there. And I'm just like, what?
What?
Guys, we're at a fucking BMX race. Why are you wanting to stab each other over a parking spot? Just go park somewhere else. Walk 2 minutes.
That guy's insane. No, there's no chance that happened. Are you kidding me? A knife fight for a fucking parking spot?
He's not going to make it up, right?
That's true. Chris, that's insane.
Okay, people, we got to relax a little in the parking spots. If you're getting into fights with weapons or just fights in general, let's just gain a little perspective here. We're at a BMX race. We don't need to be doing that.
You know what's certainly, an acceptable?
Certainly don't need to be doing that.
An acceptable time to get into one of these fights over a parking spot is when those people that just put their lawn chairs there. They'll come early. They'll take one spot. They'll wait for somebody else. Or
those people should be in jail.
Like, I'm sorry, it's first come first serve. Move your damn lawn chair.
People should be in jail. It's an absolute crime to do what they're doing.
You can try to do that. I'm all for trying to do it, but until somebody calls you out, like, you got to move it. You can't put up a fight about it. Unfortunately, it's my stance.
Those are some of the worst people in the world that do that.
They just hold their ground with their lawn chair. Nope, I got this one saved, guys. You can't park.
It is absurd that people do that. It's a crime. It should be a crime.
It's a crime. Like, if there's multiple spots available and you're gonna save one for beside you for a buddy or your second, whatever. Fair enough. That's fine. But once, like, it's needed, you're gone. You're out of there.
You got to get it the fuck out of the way.
You can't be holding that thing any longer.
So yeah, that the parking was a somewhat of an issue. I mean, it's not like a huge complaint. The second day, though, I had to park in like the farthest lot, and it was a hike. Like, we're talking a hike to the stadium, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm imagining it like a good uphill dirt path you're probably walking up, eh? Or road.
So it's kind of shitty. You got to pay for parking, then you got to walk 10 minutes. Like, I understand the paying for parking. I think that goes right to the local track. I don't know which local track put this on, but anyway.
That's a good point. Who gets the money this time?
I don't know. I don't want to get into that. I'm not sure who gets it, but anyway. Yeah, the parking was, you know, not ideal.
Yeah,
it was
fair.
It was a bit of a hike. The pits there kind of wasn't one area. Like, there was one stretch of, I'd say, a parking lot where there were some pits, and there was some, like, the answer pit was along the first straight.
Okay.
Where I was hanging out. And then some of the pits were like down the hill, which I would have been a nightmare if riders were hanging out of those pits. They would have to hike back and forth. You can't have it.
No. Yeah. I know you got hours between your rounds, but that's just awful. If you had to ride down or walk down there, hang out for an hour or two, and then hike back up for your race. And then you got to hike back up early because you want to make sure you get time to rest at the top. Like, that would be pretty shit.
Yeah. So it's honestly nice to have a race super close to San Diego. It's like 2-hour drive for me. No problem. Enjoyed coaching my riders there. Shout out to Lucas Zhao. Great win on the weekend. Really exciting.
Hell yeah, Lucas.
But enjoyed it. Enjoyed coaching my riders there, being around the answer people, saying hi to, you know, friends and whatnot.
The word I was looking for when I was talking about the stadium, it looked like a ranch. It looked like a nice California ranch from the video with the rock and stone and all that underneath. I liked it.
Yeah, it's cool. They had some live music on, it was a Friday. They had some live music Friday afternoon, like a band playing and behind the stand.
No way.
Yeah. It's actually kind of cool. Yeah.
Was it, how big was the race? Because obviously watching the pros go, tough when there's World Cup going on the same weekend. You're not going to get all the top guys. We'll get into like how the racing went.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't look huge. Like, the women's class, was there even a women's class?
So, no, it's funny. They had three.
Okay.
And then they called up Lexi Alejandre on Friday night and were like, yo, you need to come so we can have a class. So she flew in like Friday night or Saturday morning from Phoenix, and they had a class.
No way.
Yeah.
I hope they paid her a little extra for that. Like, which is just
shitty. It's obviously just shitty timing. The same weekend as a World Cup.
Yeah, you're gonna get all the top people out there. It sucks.
Which is like, I don't understand. Like, if you're USAVX, why you'd bother making this a pro race? I don't know why. You can make a different one around the world. Here's the thing: we're not a big enough sport where we can have two of these competing weekends. We're just not.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have. They need to complement each other. So I think both sides need to be aware of the other series and kind of work around to max. It's better for the riders and both parties, I would say, because you want the best riders there. And I have no doubt, like, if there wasn't a World Cup, I'm sure all the pros would have gone to LA. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
it's tough, I think, because I think USABMX is usually the ones that put their schedule out first. And then,
yes,
unfortunately, the World Cups have lately been taking a while to come out just because they take a long time logistically to get the tracks
off. So I retract what I say, because, yeah, USA, I just realized, well, and especially after you said it, they probably did put out the pro race first.
Yeah, I think everyone's on the same page with that. Like, I think we are too. It sucks that USABMX is just going to do what they do and put that out early, and it just takes time for the World Cup thing to get out because of, like, yeah, trying to lock the tracks down. And then once they're out, it's tough for USABMX to be like, okay, actually, there's a World Cup, so we're just not going to make this a pro race, because then that venue might be like, well, we decided to have a race here because we were going to get a pro race. It's like, how are we not going to have that now? So kind of weird situation.
They kind of both need to be aware, I guess.
Kind of,
like,
yeah.
I guess it's hard if USABMX, yeah, they do put out the schedule first because the World Cup, I mean, they put it out so last minute these days. It's crazy. But, yeah, they need to complement. Like, we can't just ignore two series going on. They need to kind of work schedule wise.
I will say the World Cup schedule for next year is written out already. It's not public, but it's written out. And one of the USAVMX people was on the last meeting we had. He's one of the members, so they will know. So now thinking about it, I don't know how early or late the schedule went out last year. Doesn't matter. Next year, there shouldn't be this issue. There shouldn't. Keyword, yeah, shouldn't.
I don't think there's any reason to have an issue if you already know the schedule. Like, there shouldn't be a problem.
No. So hope not, because, yeah, it just sucks. I mean, we talked about these little indoor events. I mean, they're not a huge track. It's not the supercross track. It's kind of that. It's a little bit more of an old school ABA BMX race, but it's also part of the fun of the US BMX series that you get a variety of races and you get some good battles because people are tight. They're running into each other. It's dirt turns. And it's like, there's some good racing. It seemed like a couple good battles, a little bit of action on the weekend, but it would have been even better with all the guys there.
And I mean, racing in Southern California is cool. Like racing in LA, I don't know. It's got a bit of a different vibe.
And when's the last time people got to race in LA?
There's nothing better than a big BMX race in Southern California in our sport.
It's just a classic, isn't it? Like it doesn't even, they're not always the biggest crowds anymore, but it's still just something about it. It feels like that's where BMX was. It is like, that's the Mecca kind of thing.
Yep. It wasn't that big of a race. Honestly, a lot of the amateur classes and cruiser classes didn't have many riders. I think there was like 250 maybe around, give or take. It didn't feel that big. It's weird. These races, I feel like in SoCal used to be huge. And it just doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
It's not the same, is it? They're not the big ones.
No.
It's not, the West Coast isn't the place for the big ones anymore.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe it just seems like everyone on the East Coast, it's a lot easier for people to drive to them. I don't know why that feels that way. I mean, the country is just massive everywhere. So it's like maybe there's a more of a tight-knit area people can drive to race on the East Coast or what, but.
I think maybe too, at this point in the year, if a lot of amateurs have their scores in and a lot of them have aged up, maybe they're just kind of waiting till the grands, which that's, I think, a lot of times, like Vegas had like 450 or 500 or something crazy earlier this year.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of the year. So I think at this point, if people have raced a lot, they might just need a bit of a break or kind of waiting till grands. I think that's a contributing factor too.
Good point. Yeah. And I mean, school did just start this month, really. Yeah. Most schools start in September. So all of the above, probably.
Yeah. But that being said, I think this was a really good race for Cam and Corbin to come back at, because they've both been hurt and been off for a long time. So I think, you know, it's not easy to come back and throw yourself right in the dragon's den. So it's probably nice to come back to a high level race with good competition, but not have all the bangers there.
Yeah, they can get a little bit of freedom in a moto or even in the final, get a little bit of space maybe with someone that's not used to being in a final, so they get a little more freedom because that's kind of their place they're used to being in that area. And yeah, they're not getting pinched off. They can get their laps in, get ready to go. And it kind of showed, like, Cam's that underdog. He's the quiet one on social media. You never know what's going on. And I didn't expect him to be racing it. And then I saw him like win the first day. And I was like, well, he's back clearly. Like, he's just in form.
I didn't know he was going to be there either. When I was driving up, I was thinking, I wonder if Cam's going to be back. Because I knew he'd be back riding and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, well, it's a close race. All the guys are in Paris. Might be a good opportunity. And sure enough, he was there, obviously. It looked like he hadn't missed a beat. Like,
no,
his first
normal,
race in a few months. Yeah, I don't think he's quite 100% yet either. And man, he looked really polished. Dude. He was really impressive. I was really impressed, especially to see him in his first race back. Looked like he got right in his routine, ticked off the laps, made very few mistakes. He looked really polished.
I just have to say it again. I absolutely love his bike right now. That wood bike, the wood grain wrapping he's got on the bike. Just, oh my God, dude. That's one of the sickest bikes in the sport right now.
Honestly, I don't
you're not the bike
like
guy. I know. I every time I talk that. Bike okay. share with you, you're just like, oh yeah, yeah, for sure, dude. Dude, it's sick. So sick, dude.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Don't patronize me.
But yeah, two wins for Cam. Great weekend.
Good weekend. It's kind of same with Corbin too. I mean, I didn't see how he did the second day, but seeing him on the box the first day, he got a good start. It seemed like in the final, just kind of, I bet you his race to get back into the flow of things before going to race the World Cups and the big ones again, I'd imagine.
I feel like he got fourth the second day.
Okay. So still in the final. Right? So battling.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. But he didn't quite look up to speed yet. He wasn't like his usual self, but he's still, you know, first race back and still looked pretty good overall.
I was I didn't realize Picardo because I saw the picture.
He was fast,
dude. Yeah, he was really great. His start in the on the first day, he was battling with Cam into the first turn, tried to give him a little action. Unfortunately, went down in the last turn, just slid out. But he looked great.
He overshot the little step up or double, whatever it was, into the last corner. And I was watching in the first straight, so I didn't see the slide out. But yeah, he obviously slid out, which sucks because he threw away a podium, obviously. But yeah, man, he rode good. Like, he rode really well. Smart racer. First straights are coming along. He's looking good.
He's been on fire lately. I mean, come back from the injury, it seems like he's taking his, I don't know if he's taking his time or just had to take his time, but he's clearly on social media. He likes to show that he's been, you know, he's been on that diet. He's been, you know, grinding, as he says, and he's been working. So I think it paid off. It showed, like, coming back from an injury and battling with Cam, battling up front to the USA BMX race, no matter what the field is, if they're top guys in a World Cup or not, like, that's impressive and it's good to see.
Joey Lito was really impressive too. Man, he's coming on, turning into a dude. Good gates and first straights. He won a lot of laps, like motos and whatever. Got a second on Sunday. Was in lane two between Cam and Jack. He looked really good. Like, he's getting better each race.
He's a staple in these finals, in my opinion. He is, like, dude. It's not a surprise at all. Yeah, he's legit. Good around the track too. He always battles his way in, I feel like, no matter what, if he gets a start or not.
Yeah. I got to hang out with him and Jack at the answer tent. I hadn't really talked to Joey before, but nice guy. It's good to see him doing well.
When do I chat with him last? I think I hung out with him when we were doing the autograph signing at the Grands, and that was kind of the first time I really got to chat with him. Nice kid though.
Really nice. Yeah. So I think he's on the up. If you're buying stock, you could put a bit in Joey Lito for sure.
Grab that stock early. Grab it. Yeah, you know, it's on the climb. It's been on the climb. Roof. Yeah.
Jack Davis looked very fast, got third on Sunday. He won a semi actually on Sunday. What happened to him Saturday? He got pretty unlucky with something. Saturday
wasn't he out in the semi? Crash in the semi or something happened?
Something happened. I can't even remember now, but yeah, he obviously should have been in the main on Saturday. I think him and Cam are the two fastest guys.
Nice. Okay.
Overall.
You love to hear that for a fellow to answer BMX S2 Claiborne tent rider, you know, under the umbrella.
He is just like 200 pounds of solid muscle.
He's a unit.
He's a fucking specimen, that guy.
Unreal, dude. Just a unit out there. It's crazy. He looks like a unit too. Like, he's just got muscle on him. I don't consider him the most, like, he doesn't muscle everything, but he's not the most flowy at the same time. There's a little bit of both combo in there. I don't know. He just looks like he's just, if you were to run into him in a turn, like, good luck getting him to move.
It's a bit like a running back.
Yeah, straight up, dude. Yeah, 100%.
Seriously, yeah.
Agile, quick as heck, and then he's just also a brick shit house.
Fucking rig. But yeah, he looked, his gates and first straights, especially, like, him and Cam had some pull on the flat hill. The other guys didn't.
Yeah, it's cool. I always feel like he's a good flat hill guy, just for that power he has.
So I look for him to.
We're both just clearing our throats over.
I know, Jesus. I think for the Grands especially, he's going to be a guy to watch.
I think so too. Do you think now with Cam coming back, getting a couple wins, is he going to be back in this title chase? Because it felt like for a minute with Isaac being out, Cam being out, I was like, oh, Joris has got this. Joris is just going to run away with points until the Grands, and then maybe he'll have some competition when the guys are back. But it kind of feels like Cam has a shot still now.
Yeah, I haven't checked the points overall, but he just nabbed two wins. He'll need a couple good scores probably in Rock Hill too. He's running out of races, but if he grabs a couple in Rock Hill and then the first day at the Grands, fuck yeah, you can.
That's huge, honestly. I feel like we got a two-man battle again at least, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it.
I think the fans do too. Yeah. I don't know which side I'm on. I like them both, so I think I know which side I'm on, but it's just like they're both, yeah, I don't know.
Which, yeah, we'll get into Joris's performance too, but I'd love to see those two guys battle for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I was in the vet class. I mean, Barry is just cleaning up as normal, but did I see Tats racing vet?
Yeah, Tatsumi. So he's living in LA now. He came over and obviously gave each other a hug and we're catching up. Tatsumi Matsushita, for those of you that don't know who we're talking about. Race Elite for many years, and yeah, it's a good friend and whatever. He came to Canada to train. Actually stayed with me in Canada for a while to train before. Anyway, yeah, he's living in LA. So he works for ANA, you know, the airline.
Yep.
Yeah, so they, he's got Yeah, Zenny Day, but they transferred him to LA. So he's living in LA and working for them here now. So
no
he's
shit, living in California. Wow, yeah. That's unreal.
That's cool to see. He's going to be racing, I think, most of the USA BMX stuff. But now, one of the nicest people you will ever meet.
He is, honestly, yeah. Yeah. He's never, I don't think I've ever heard him say a bad thing about anyone or just in general. He's just Mr. Nice Guy, you know, easygoing. Know. Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was cool to see. Didn't expect that whatsoever.
Shout out to Danny Kellogg making the main on day two. What a fucking legend. I think he's 36 now. 2007 USA BMX number one pro. I think it was ABA BMX number one pro back then. And he made the main on Saturday. No, in Elite.
For real?
He made the main in Elite on Saturday.
No way.
Yeah, he's a fucking legend.
No way.
Yeah, hell yeah, Danny C. How cool is that?
I literally have the race open on my phone right here or on my computer. I need to go back and watch it now. Are you kidding?
I think people don't understand how badass that is.
Which jersey is he wearing? Oh, he's lane 8?
I can't remember what lane he was in, but he made the main.
Yeah. That's got to be him. Knowing Danny C, like knowing what he looks like when he rides and what he's always wears that. That's got to be him. No shit, hey?
So I saw him briefly, but I didn't get a chance to catch up with him. But yeah, he's a nurse now. I'm sure he works full time and made the main in the lead, which is so sick.
Dude, that's unbelievable. The fact, yeah. When did he win?
2007 ABA number one.
2007, hey?
And dude, he was so good. He made the main at the Worlds that year too. Yeah, he was a weapon.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That guy's been around the sport for a hot minute and he's kind of like, nobody really realizes probably.
He won the ABA title in pro 16 years ago and he still made the main in Elite.
Crazy. There he is. Yeah, that is. Wow, dude, look at that.
You just never lose it.
No, if you just got it, you got it.
Yeah. Should we get into Sarions?
Yeah, let's do that.
Obviously day one was canceled. I wasn't there, so I can't comment, but I know how fucking windy it gets in the south of France from training there for many years, and boy, does it get windy. And from what obviously every rider posted, that it was the right decision.
It's kind of the go-to telltale sign of like, was it the right move or not, is like how people reacted to it on social media these days. And based off what people were saying, how they were responding, it seemed like it was the right move. Yeah. Dude, wind sucks. I mean, it sucks for all racers. A lot of people always just try to say, oh, whatever, we'll just ride through it, blah, blah, blah. But when you got like what seems like every top rider or the majority of the top riders saying like, you know, it was the right move, clearly it was the right move. Like, it's too windy to race. You're not going to just dangerous, put yourself in even more danger just because it's windy and then just make the racing shit too. Like, that would just be stupid. So good call.
Yeah. Is the right decision. Obviously devastating for everyone who traveled there and, you know, spent time, money, all that, but at least they got in one great day of racing. So before we get into racing, to play devil's advocate, why can't we just move the other day to Monday?
I don't know. I think there's, I don't know the logistics, dude. I think it's like people book flights and shit. You can't be fucking with people. We don't have the money in the sport for them to be like.
That can all be changed though, really. Like, you can change your flight.
I mean, you can, but it costs people a lot of money. And I don't think we're the sport where we can afford to cost people that much money. Any money, honestly.
I don't think changing a flight is that. You pay like a little fee, but it's not.
I mean, you pay a fee and then crazy. What if it's you're having to change like a day before? You could be having to pay like through the roof rates or something. I don't know.
Something to weigh, though. Like,
yeah, I think we don't really have TV, I guess, right? Like TV stuff. Maybe that's part of it. Like, they know then they got to pay people to stay an extra day. These like the whoever you just doing the YouTube, like that counts. They got to pay all these people that are doing the video.
Yeah.
To
stay. So like logistically, it'd be challenging because obviously the whole UCI and everyone has to stay. But
and they're not making a shit ton of. They're not making any money really off this at all.
Ooh.
Like UCI, like from these World Cups. Like, I don't think they're making much, if anything. So I can't see them being like, oh yeah, we're just gonna spend more money out of our pocket to just delay it an extra day. I don't know.
We really need to go to like the 4-day window and then just race on the days that are good. We need to say, okay, Thursday to Sunday, the race could happen anytime.
Dude, that's crazy. And we just need to though.
We need to. Why is it crazy?
To like, just everyone's say, be there. Ready for 4 days.
Yeah. And then you look the day before, but okay, we're going to race tomorrow. Everyone's there and ready. Like, how could you not be ready to race?
What other?
How could you not be ready?
What sport in the world do they do that?
Surfing.
Okay, the one fucking sport, dude.
fuck that. That's,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if any other sport does it. Like, I think we need to do it to avoid this.
Dude, does it happen that frequently, though? No.
I mean, if you're looking at races canceled, no, you could say Bathurst in this one. But there's times where we for sure shouldn't have raced and we could have on a different day.
Yes. I think if it's a one-day race, it's a lot easier to give yourself the Sunday. But when we're having two races, I think that's, I don't know if that's really an option.
Or you could go Thursday, Friday, practice Thursday, then Friday, Saturday race, and then you have a day on Sunday where you could.
Sure.
You could just tell people beforehand. And when I first started World Cups, that's what they did. They raced on Saturday to have a rain day for Sunday. So I think that's maybe a more realistic option then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's understandable. Then you're telling everybody early, you got to stay an extra day. You're paying the money to be here, stay an extra day just in case. Because it does. It sucks for people that went and maybe they're already breaking the budget a little bit. They only get one race instead of the two. It sucks. I mean, it's kind of shit. I have a feeling, knowing that there's four more World Cups to come, maybe they're just going to do another one in there. If not, they do just cancel it. Who knows?
I think you got to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you tell everyone, look, Sunday is our weather day. So you have to stay till Monday, because if anything happens, we're going to try and fit one on Sunday. And I think that's a more realistic and probably everyone would be on board. I don't know how you wouldn't be on board.
No, and I think that's understandable too, because then the people that can't afford to, say, switch their flights last minute and leave on Sunday if they do both races, you can do that. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I think we need to move to that model, because what happens if it's 2 days of that wind? Then you just don't race? then you got a big problem.
Yeah. That's true. That would suck. Yeah, that would be brutal. I was talking to, Yeah, me and Brendy were chatting and we're throwing around the idea, like, could you race at night? Like, could you have just done that race at night? And I think that's could have been an option, because, I mean, by the sounds of it, they do have good lights and the wind would probably die down in the evening. But once again, logistically, it just becomes tough to last minute.
No, I think that's bullshit. I think you can ride at night. It's not tough logistically. Everyone's there. You just adapt.
You just make people wait around and then say, yeah.
Yeah, you just adapt. You look at the forecast, you just adapt. Yeah, okay. I don't think that's hard at all.
So that's another option to keep in mind.
The main thing is they have to have good lights. Because some tracks might have lights, but if they're not great, I mean, you don't want to be riding Supercross with shitty lights. And I don't know the light situation there. So maybe they weren't good enough. I don't know.
That's what I had a question about in my head the whole time. Is like, we don't have a standard on lighting. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but you look at others. We're trying to make our sport professional. Other sports probably have standards on lighting. You mean like a Formula One race, they have a standards of how much of the track and needs to be lit with like a certain amount of lighting. At the end of the day, if we're going to race at night, there needs to be a standard of the lighting, because I guarantee you, like places like Santiago del Estero, they probably have lights for their local nights, but I guarantee you those lights aren't good enough for a World Cup.
100%. We raced in Chula Vista the night before. They brought in TV lights. So they're the same lights they use at whatever sport. And the track was lit up perfectly. It was like riding in the day. That's what you need. You go to a lot of local tracks, they have lights, yes. But then you jump into the corner and it's black. And then the light shows up on the jump out of the corner. You can't have that in Supercross. Someone's going to get killed.
That's so dangerous, honestly. And especially at a world-class level, you're not trying to... Yes, we call our sport like it's just, you can't be doing that. You just can't be doing that.
You can't be guessing where the lip of the triple is. You're going to get killed.
And the problem is, I think even if Sarion's lights are fantastic and good enough, it's someone just going to make a judgment call. Like, that's hard for someone to just be like, yeah, they're good enough here so we can do it. It's like, you probably need a standard to say, okay, there's this much lighting with this many watts or this much illumination to then be like, okay, that's up to code. We're good enough to go. Which they probably just don't have that.
I also don't think racing 2 World Cups in one day is realistic. That would be beyond exhausting and I think probably pretty dangerous.
Oh, you mean like if they write...
Try to do both one day, I don't think it's realistic at all.
No, hell no.
Like, that's 12 or whatever laps for the guys. No, you can't do that.
That would suck, dude. They'd be blown
12
out.
12 laps. 12 laps. There'd be a lot of mistakes, and it wouldn't be good.
Good luck. Your guys would be out for the next month. Like, they'd be so tired.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's just not happening, no. So, it is what it is.
Okay, it's settled. It's settled. We're doing a rain. We're doing a weather day.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Weather days Sunday, so be ready.
What do you think would be the reason to not do that? Would they say probably TV, or would they say something? I don't know.
I think it's ridiculous, but I think it always comes back to the money and the TV.
What's the money problem?
you got to pay people an extra day to be there just in case.
I guess, but my argument would be everyone's there the whole time anyway. Everyone's there the whole week.
The TV so people aren't until Friday.
Oh, so you have to pay the... Yeah, that's not a fucking big deal.
No, I don't think it is either, but it's like...
It's really not a big
deal. You're talking to like probably the UCI, which they're on a tight budget. They just don't like spending money for us because we don't bring in any fucking money for them.
I guess that would be an argument, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not...
No, it's. I guess it's fair. Yeah.
I'm right down the middle on this. I do my best to see both sides, and it's like, it's ridiculous that we are the pinnacle of our sport, and we don't have the funds to just be like, yeah, let's just have a rain delay in there or something, or like, yeah.
I think you can though. I think you can do.
Maybe we do.
I don't think
maybe
there is. I don't think it's a huge thing.
Maybe it's been so little on the radar of being a problem that they just didn't really take it into account. But maybe it's something to improve on moving forward.
I think so. Certainly.
Let's do that.
All right. Well, let's get into the race again. Want to do the guys first?
Yeah, sure. Let's do the guys first. Yeah.
So certainly Joris is the greatest BMX racer of all time.
It's just stapled. Stamp it, dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think I was lying in bed last night thinking about it. And yeah, I think undoubtedly.
You know those scrolls they find in like ancient Egypt and the pyramids where it's like they can somehow see the writing on scrolls or on the stones because it's just so stamped in there. It's permanent for life. You can do that with Joris and the goat now. You can just put that on those scrolls and just put it in the stone caves or wherever because he's locked in.
Yeah, he's been his first world's medal was in 2010 in elite and it's 2023 and he just won a World Cup again. He won crazy. 3 World Cups this year. Something crazy.
Yeah. He just, once again, dominant fashion, winning his laps, like clicking them off like clockwork. The guy knows how to get into his rhythm and routine and just win races.
So just automatic now. He's just muscle memory's done it for so long. He knows exactly what to do and how he can get the best out of himself.
The thing I thought was like, I find about him is like, dude, he stays so calm. Like he makes a mistake. It looked like he didn't have a good second straight and he kind of did a panic pedal into the second turn. And it's one of those things where it's like you see people do a panic pedaling. You kind of feel like they're riding above their head a little bit when they start realizing, fuck, I messed up. I need to go faster. I need to get away. But then he just cleans it up and has two of this. Like the last two straightaways were just buttery smooth for him, like no big deal. So it's like he's
truly unbelievable how easy he makes it look.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, hey? Crazy. So that was really cool. Definitely, I was bummed not to see Romain. Up near in the final or anything like that. I mean, literally just had a bad start in the quarter. Doesn't seem like a track that if you're mid pack or in the back of the pack, you're not going to be making many moves to get back in there. So, and Romain's not really that guy either. So once he hit the gate in the quarter, that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, obviously bad gate in the quarter, got cut off. Didn't look super aggressive down the second straight either. Kind of overshot and then got passed again and was kind of done. He's not the guy to work through the pack like Sylvain is.
Dude, no.
For instance.
Speaking of those, Sylvain, first
can
off,
we talk about that fucking guy's second straight in the semi?
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. I don't know the split times, but if you took a time from the first turn to second turn or like a second, third straight half lap, that had to be the fastest one.
Dude, it was so fast, dude. I like goes from just in seventh or whatever, just in the back of the pack, just all of a sudden in the second turn, clear fourth, not even close to fifth.
Like hit the, you know, like, you know, like an Excite bike or those video games where you hit the speed boost. Yeah. You made those other, the guys he passed on the second straight made him look like they were standing still. Wasn't even remotely close.
Insane, right? And yeah. Guys, it's good
phenomenal day for Sylvain to get second. He passed Jeremy at the finish line in the main. But man, I don't think he quite has his best stuff yet either. He's coming back off a concussion and I don't think he's quite firing, but I think this was a huge result for him. I feel like he needed a good result. All the other French guys have been killing it. He's had a few tough races. I think he needed this one for his, momentum or I don't know, whatever you want to say.
Dude, I think for everything, momentum, personal, just like for the Olympic team points, like trying to keep his name in the running there up the top because the other guys have been coming hot. So that was cool. He looks weird with 39. I'm going to say it. The guy hasn't had his double-digit career number in, dude, how many years? He's been running the single-digit world champs number for, what was it, probably since 2017?
He got second in the world in 20. Yeah, up until Rock Hill, I guess, that year probably.
So 2017,
he had I didn't even think of that.
2018, he had a single digit. 2019, single digit. 2020, he skipped. 2021, single digit. 2022. Was that this year?
That's funny. I didn't even, I totally forgot about that.
Really? Yeah, dude, it's for me. I just, I saw that and I was like, that is just, that's crazy. He does not look normal to me. So
the Swiss guys were really quick too. All of them. Bruner, Booty, and Simon.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, they really did. Hey,
they stood out fast. All of them. They really did. Yeah.
And sorry, who'd you say? Cedric, Simon, Bruner.
Bruner.
And then even what's Stylecat?
Oh, Renault. Yeah, Renault was good too. He made the semi. Yeah, he made the semi.
Wow, they're a force right now.
Yeah, I think honestly, I probably another weekend if it wasn't so French dominated at home, they'd have probably a couple guys in the main.
That was, I thought that was really impressive. I mean, Bruner has stepped up like crazy lately.
I think he won his quarter. Bruner won his quarter.
Dude, yeah. Talk about a guy that's fucking legit. Out of nowhere in a little bit and stepped up this year, which is really cool. Like, all those guys have been implementing themselves at the front. I think they're a runner for second overall in the Olympic points now.
I wouldn't be surprised. They got four legit dudes. They're going to get 3 point getters, no problem.
I might just take a look here and see how far back they are. Because, I mean, I kind of thought Colombia was stamped in there for a little bit. I thought it was like France is obvious. And then I was like, okay, cool. Colombia with Diego, Carlos, and then Carmona in there getting a World Cup podium.
Colombia doesn't really have like a... Like Carmona is obviously good, but he's not nearly as consistent as the Swiss guys would be.
True. Like that's what it feels like.
I think
they're
kind of Colombia's kind of lacking in the third guy to get consistent points. Yeah.
I love this little tidbits. I think
obviously
really
Diego, we'll get into Diego too, rode phenomenal, and Carlos made the semi. Both those two dudes are going to be consistent getting points, but I don't see Carmona being a consistent guy.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just looking right now. So, dude, France is clear first. They got over 10,000 points. The next is
they could just stop now and roll into the OSHA with three, probably.
Dude, straight up. Because next is Colombia. They got 7,800. And then Swiss is in third right now with 55. So they're not far.
That's a big gap.
It is still a big gap for Swiss. Let's see who their top three is, though. Cedric, Simon, and Renault right now is their third. So if Bruner's riding like this consistently, like semifinals consistently, dude, they're gonna jump up quickly, I think.
Yeah, but Bruner's not counting.
That's what I mean. Like, if Bruner keeps going and on the pace he has, he'll pass Renault, and then he'll be the third person.
Simon, his speed didn't really his results didn't show how fast he was. He was really fast this weekend.
Yeah, he was. Hey, yeah. I think we kind of expected it. He was gonna be back in form. Doesn't have the rainbows on anymore. It's kind of a home track, and he. Dude, he was flying out there. Just didn't really make it happen. Got kind of screwed a little bit. So,
yeah, he was right up there with those top guys. He just, unfortunately didn't get the result. But I think for Simon, it's coming. It's only a matter of time before he's back on a box.
I would think he's pretty happy after this weekend too. Like in the sense of like knowing he's got his shit back. Like he's there. Mm. So
yeah, he really does. He looked really really solid. Diego just turned into he's a fucking top five guy in the world, no question.
I will put him up there when he has his good start. Like if everybody has their best start they can possibly do, he's in the top three for first rates.
In my power rankings, when I think of top five guys, he's in my top five guy.
Yeah.
Guys.
Dude, it's nuts, eh?
Yeah.
He's got just like this, his form is just robotic, and then the speed is just effortless off the start. So,
Leo Garayon kind of overshadowed, I would say, by the other French performances, but back in the main, and he's not quite of those top level guys in the country. But if you took him off the French national team, I think everyone would be super impressed because he came out of U23 and he's right up there with those guys. He just gets kind of overshadowed by the other guys from France.
When you're wearing the same jersey that the other 10 guys, the fastest guys in the world are wearing, like the French jersey. I mean, yeah, it's hard to stand out against them, but he's a staple in the finals too. He's been there like this year. He's been in so many of those finals, the World Cup finals. It's insane. So, he's definitely not, I think we're all kind of, I mean, myself included, was probably like last year, he kind of sandbagging U23. He's winning all these U23 races, like get into elite. Let's see how you perform in the real class, blah, blah, blah. And the guy is like, he stepped up. He's performing just fine. You're in how many World Cup finals already? You're in the World Championships final as of like your first season racing in the Elite World Cup class. I think it's pretty cool.
I think he did it exactly the right way with U23. And I think that's what you do with U23 if you're that good. You go in there, you dominate, you win the World Cup title, win the World Championships, whatever. Learn how to win at the big races. Learn how to perform and like be the guy in the class and then move up and you're ready to win. I think that's the way to do it.
Fair. I mean, it's hard to say anything against that. I've always been the guy that just says, hop into the class, get your feet wet, and let's see it. But he seems to be the one that's proven that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good to see Eddie in the main too. One of the six French dudes in the main.
Yeah. Kind of didn't expect him to be there. I don't know why. Didn't really, he wasn't on my radar kind of going into it, but someone you can't forget too, because any person that is wearing that French jersey, you know, as fast, he's one of them. Like he's got the speed when it counts.
Let's name our top five guys that we think are the top five guys in the world. Like we have our own little power ranking.
Oh, wow.
So let's each pick five guys we think if we consider five best guys in the world, let's
so
whatever.
Are we gonna explain what are we doing here? Like
I mean, I guess if you want, I'm just gonna name five guys that I think
if they were put into a race, you expect them to do like the best.
Like my top five, I consider these five guys the top five guys in the world when I say who they are.
Okay, go for it.
So Joris and Romain. Diego. Then it gets really hard. Those three, and then I'd probably say
this is tough.
You see, I would say Neek, but I would say right now, like if you're looking right this second, I wouldn't consider him top five guy, which I know is crazy because overall, yes. Okay. I get it. Yeah. 100%. But I'd say like right this second, I wouldn't.
So we're taking right this second. Like let's say tomorrow there's a World Cup and we need to draft five people and we're taking
that we think are the best
right now.
So I wouldn't pick Neek right at this second.
So like injury aside, what about injuries, injury people?
Yeah. So like I would probably usually take Cam and Neek, but Cam hasn't obviously been racing, so I wouldn't pick him at this moment.
This makes it really tough because, yeah, I'm thinking like I would throw Cam in there, but right now I'd throw Neek in there usually, and I'd probably be throwing Isaac in there too. But Isaac's completely injured. So,
they're not. You can't pick. Well, you can't pick him.
All right.
Those are my three, and then I'd probably pick like fucking Sylvain and Renkarel, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It's a toss-up because
it's insane. Pills,
yeah. I would say besides those top three, I'd probably pick Jeremy and Arthur probably. It's a toss-up between Arthur and Sylvain, I think.
Okay. All right, you want mine? Right this second, if you're injured, I'm sorry. If you're in a little slump, I'm sorry. I'm picking Joris. I'm picking Romain. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Sylvain. I'm picking Jeremy. And then right this second, if I have to pick one more person, I think I'm going to go. If I think who's going to get it done for me on a daily basis, I don't know. I know he wasn't in the final this weekend, but I'm taking Carlos. Dude, I watched one of his quarters or semis, and I thought he had a fast start. And I was like, I need to start giving this guy more credit. Like, he's one of our bros. And it's like, we like to give him a hard time for not being a starter, but he had a great start. He's fucking fast around the track. And if I'm relying on somebody to make a final when it counts, he's my guy to do that. So I'm putting him as the fifth. And I know Diego beat him. I know Diego's higher in the rankings than him right now. But
so you didn't pick Diego?
No. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's like, for me, Diego, I'm telling you, if I see Diego, I see a guy that's like, if he is as fast as start possible, he's one of the fastest guys. But I don't think I see that all the time. I don't see it enough to be like, I'm going to trust that guy in an instant to make the final. I have more trust in Carlos to either find a way or I don't know what it is. Maybe I just like somebody that makes, like, I like the Sylvans. I like the Carlos, the people that do find a way. So maybe I'm just being biased, but fuck it.
I mean, no, it's a great pick.
It would be different if we're including people that are when they're healthy, like people that are injured right now, like Isaac.
Stuff. It's gotta be right this second.
Yeah. Fuck, it's dude. Like Kai, we're leaving Kai out of there too, and I think
I thought of Kai too.
But. Dude, it's tough. That's shit. All right.
Should we talk? Want to talk some duds from the weekend or no?
I mean, yeah, why not? I'm happy to do that.
You know who I was? Quillen Isidore. Unbelievably talented, fantastic rider out in quarters. Haven't really seen much.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I think at the start of the year, he showed a lot of promise. He was flying, had some great races, great starts, and then it got crashed in Turkey. And then it's like, maybe we keep expecting him to be the guy. Like, we expect him to step up, kind of like Ross did at the Worlds, and he just didn't because he got into a little, messed up in the turn, got double high load in the turn in the Worlds. And you keep expecting that little breakthrough and be like, there he is. That's what we've been expecting. It just didn't happen. Hey.
No, it hasn't happened. I feel like he's been fast for years and it just kind of hasn't happened yet.
I guess so, yeah. I guess hard to make that breakthrough once you've been up there and have to deal with injuries like he has. It's hard to really step through and break that ice, I guess, eh?
Cam Larson out in quarters.
Yeah, he's been...
Not great.
No. Not awesome. Just for the amount of speed we know that guy has, not awesome.
No.
Yeah, we know there's so much potential in there with that dude, how fucking fast Twitch he is and how fast he is off the start when he connects.
I thought that was going to be a good track for him, actually.
You did, eh?
To do well. Kind of short for a straight, not as big or anything. I thought that'd be a good track for him, but yeah, not great.
Yeah. Continue, do you got more?
Those are the two off the top of my head.
Definitely Romain for me, obviously, but that's, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, not great for sure. Obviously, world champ, home track, and bad start in the quarter and cutoff.
I love his little post after. It was just like, nothing changes. Like, he understood. It was like, hey, fucking messed up. It's sport. It's BMX. He just won the Worlds. The next race at home, he hits the gate. I mean,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Shit happens.
And I just want to put it out there. Him and Joris are just continuing the streak of Romain wins Saturdays, Joris wins Sundays. They're doing it.
It's fucking crazy, huh?
Unreal. Yeah, was there anybody else? Really?
It's the two I thought of that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Plus Romain.
I guess Neek too, for me.
Yeah. A bad start in the... I don't even know if he got a bad start. Just cut off in the semi, didn't make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great.
Kind
of not a great track for him. No, not super long. Not wide open.
The guy can ride his ass off on the bike, but we always... We're putting him at the front lines when we got a big wide open first straight.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right.
Anyone else elite, man? I think that's all I had.
You know what? Someone I kept expecting to break through. We talked about him before, like, because he's been doing so well at the Euro rounds, but not at the World Cups, was Ruben Gomers. Mm-hmm. Kept thinking
kind of just been nothing on the, I don't want to say nothing on the World Cups, but just kind of not happening at the World Cups.
He's been like a semi guy at the World Cups or a quarters guy, which, I mean, is phenomenal. If you're making semis consistently, phenomenal. But just coming off a few year-round wins, you're like, dude, this guy's going to break through and be like that new guy in the World Cup finals. And just haven't seen it yet. So I'm still holding stock on him, I think.
How did Jamie O'Brink do?
Good question. Dude, the Dutchies had weird jerseys, so I don't know.
I don't remember seeing him in the broadcast, come to think of it.
Should I go look right now? No, it's going to take me a while.
It's going to take you a fucking hot minute, so don't bother.
Dude, their jerseys. You see their jerseys, the new Dutch jerseys? I know you're not a color guy, you're not a looks guy, but like, dude, the jerseys were kind of skin colored, kind of weird. They had like a tint of orange, but they're kind of like a little weird to me.
I can't picture them off the top of my head, to be honest.
Yeah, it's okay. That's probably why. Yeah, I mean, they're just different.
The Swiss jerseys, I think, are cool. I like them.
You do, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're cool.
Every fucking country's jerseys now is just skin tight. French guys,
I know.
Skin tight. Know, Swiss, really skin is. Tight. GB, skin tight. Fucking,
really,
yeah.
Really is.
That's skin, yeah. Anyways.
All right, let's head to the women, shall we?
Yep. We need a transition sound when we do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. you have the soundboard.
Yeah, but what am I supposed to do for a transition thing?
I don't know. Do something. Do like a little jingle or something.
Did you hear that?
Not really. So, I mean, no, I didn't. I can't hear. I don't know why I can't hear those. I can't really hear those things.
I don't know why it doesn't come through, but I heard it. People hear it.
Saya, phenomenal. Yeah, clinical.
Dude, yeah. Unreal start in that final. That was really cool to see. Kind of what she's kind of been showing this year in my head. Like, she's been flying. and kind of having that home track advantage. I feel like she's somebody that rides off comfortability, and she was probably extremely comfortable being there at home, and probably got into a groove and just clicked the laps off. And that had to have felt really good for her. It just clicked them off. Like I'm sure she wanted to do at Worlds, but didn't do. So cool to see.
Yeah. Looked very comfortable. Looked very in control. Great win. I think she's going to start clicking some more off.
Yeah, she seems like she's in that mode now.
Hot take. Do we think Laura's going to win another World Cup in general?
Do not put that question on me.
I'm going no.
Wow. Oh, it just hurts.
You know why? You know why I'm going no?
Why?
Because I think Saya, Bethany,
Elise,
Zoe, I think they've surpassed in speed.
They've stepped up.
Not saying Laura won't win. Well, I guess I just did, but I think
that's exactly what you just said.
That's exactly what I just said. I don't think she can beat them straight up.
It's going to be really tough, isn't it?
I don't think she can beat them straight up unless they make a mistake or something, or like there's extenuating circumstances.
Laura dominated her starts before against all the women with consistency, or your track speed was just effortless. And now it seems like she still has. No, she said. Now it seems like she's having to work harder to get that edge over people when she needs it. And the other girls, there's too many other girls with that ability to do that, to get that extra little edge. Like, dude, you look at Bethany starts and she pops it off. Gone. Zoe, gone. Saya, gone. Elise, Molly. Like, all these girls have really fast starts that are competitive with Laura, where she can't just do her normal average starts. Like, she has to be on her game. And it's making it tough. Like, it's really making a World Cup win that much tougher for every girl out there.
Hot take. I don't think she wins another World Cup.
All right. I'll take the yes side for sure.
I can be quoted if I'm wrong, I can be quoted, but I'm going to make a prediction. That's a very bold prediction, but I've made it.
The thing is, I think we both know, and I think you want to be wrong.
For the record, I'm not hoping she doesn't win one.
No, that's what I'm saying. You want to be wrong. I know you, and I know you guys are friends, so you want to be wrong. But that's just somebody making the claim that, you know, just trying to see facts. So,
Zoe looks phenomenal again. She's gonna win a World Cup soon. Probably. I think she wins one before the end of the year.
Did she win one this year yet? She has not. No, right?
I don't think so. But this year. She wins. I think she wins one this year.
Yeah, I think so too.
She's so fucking good and consistent. Like, she's so good.
Yeah, you put four races in front of us in Argentina. She's bound to win one of them, in my opinion. She's fast off the start, dude. She's consistent. She seems to be able to handle the big moments just fine. I don't even think her final, like, against Saya, Zoe was in lane one. She didn't have a bad start. There was nothing about it that was like, oh, she fucked up. Saya had a fantastic start. Zoe just didn't have as good of a start as her. Like, that's all it was.
Those two, like, they don't really have much of a weakness. How do you beat someone that has a good start, has good pull, and then is really good around the track?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. They're very smooth and flawless otherwise. Yeah. My thinking right away when you said that was like, oh, well, can they pass people around the track if they're not in first? But I guess that's besides the point. That's not what we're talking about here. If they're on it, they're on it, and it's hard to beat. Yeah.
I'd say Zoe especially could. I think she's. Yeah. I think she can make passes for sure.
It is incredible though how they can just click off laps very easily when they're winning. Like, they're very smooth, very effortless style. It's like very efficient too. Like, there's not a whole lot going on.
Al Willoughby, fresh off some drinks at the wedding, flying over to Europe, nearly puts it on the box.
Dude, unbelievable.
Which is hilarious. 32-year-old Al almost put it on the box, and obviously Merrill passed her down the last straight, but great fucking race for Elise, especially going over to Europe. Obviously hadn't rode the track before. All those other ladies had rode the track before. They're in their own backyard. Really impressive to be in the mix. You know, granted she didn't podium, but overall, like, impressive performance for sure.
Like, if you asked every other girl in that final what they were doing the weekend, the Friday and Saturday before the World Cup, I guarantee you, none of them were saying they were dancing their ass off, partying, having drinks with everybody at a wedding. Like, there's no chance any of them were saying that. But Al was. Al was having a great time at Sean's wedding with us, having a good time. And then she goes and sticks in the final, like you said, and puts out a great start again and, like, is almost on the box. Crazy.
What a fucking legend. It's just awesome that she can just go over and just doesn't matter. Here's the thing. She could probably do it, like, go to the wedding and have fun, or do everything by the book, and she'd still go and do the same.
Same deal. 100% yeah. same deal for her. She knows how to like come through when the time counts on the day and put her best foot forward. Nuts.
Fucking, she really like unbelievable athlete.
She really is on it, dude. She's so athletic. It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, it's too bad for Al, but at the same time, great job for Merrill. Obviously raced really well, especially to pass someone like Elise down the last straight and get in the box is huge.
She was moving. I watched her semi too with Zoe. I think it was Zoe. Was it Zoe? Either way, say Zoe. She was flying. She was like, track speed looked really quickly. I mean, she's probably spent a lot of time there too. And I'm not saying like track speed and comfortability comes down to how much time you've spent there, but she's
100% it helps.
Yeah. It helps. Yeah. She was looking great. So that was pretty cool.
I think we know what we get from Merrill each year. There's going to be a couple missed races, probably a couple. There's going to be a couple thirds and then we call it a year.
Yeah. It's a couple of podiums at World Cups, you know, comes through in the big moments and then goes back to her books and studying. And yeah, that's about it.
Don't see her for a while. Comes back, grabs a couple thirds and just is always there.
It's insane. Speaking of people that are just not there and then come back and flying, Axel Etienne. Dude,
can we need to talk about Axel. Welcome back, Axel. Been a hot minute.
Insane, dude. Absolutely insane. Just out of nowhere to me and then boom.
I want to say we pretty much called that one. Like I'm not going to say we called the exact thing, but we pretty much said like she's not there and then she just comes back and is right there. And that's exactly what happened.
That's her thing.
We might not see her again till who knows when. I don't know if she's going in 2 weeks. We don't know. But if she does, she'll be there. And if not, then we'll see her probably in a main in February. I don't know.
Probably be coming off some kind of recovery, but then just comes in as an absolute horse, a weapon, and just in the mains again. It's like, dude, some people just do that consistently. She's that person.
Yeah, and obviously good to give the French crowd something to cheer about the elite women's class because the French ladies haven't been great this year. Like Camille was close to making the main. I think actually Axel probably beat her out of the semi from what I remember.
I think so. Yeah, she's in the semi for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's had a bit of a tough year, but yeah, good for Axel to make the main in front of the home crowd.
Molly definitely seems like a staple in these finals, and again now too.
Yeah, 100%. She's made every single one, hasn't she? Besides the Worlds.
Oh, fuck. Has she really? Hey, yeah. Wow. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but yeah.
Pretty sure. I don't remember her missing one. Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't remember her missing one. If she missed, she maybe missed one, but I think she's made all the World Cup mains. Yeah. But yeah, another main. Yeah, she looked really good in the semi, really strong.
Good start.
Good starter. Yeah. Like we've talked about, there's that core group of women that are making the main, and it's extremely difficult for any other woman to replace one of those women in the main.
Yeah.
Like you see the same names every single race, pretty much more or less from like the group of 8 to 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so for someone to knock one of those women out is really difficult because there's a different level between the top tier and the second tier in the women's right now. Like it's pretty notable.
100%. Yeah. Cause kind of like, it felt like there was really two. Once Bethany was in the semi, she unfortunately didn't make that one. You know, had a bad start is what it is. Axel and Judy made it. And those are kind of the two. It's like you don't always see, but the six other women are the ones that you're like, yeah, that's who we expect to see in there pretty consistently.
So I think you get one or two maybe women that just have a hot day and knock one of them out, like one of the kind of mainstream women out. But generally it's the same group every time.
Would you throw Lauren in there? In that group of women, I feel like Lauren's a consistent main maker, but she's been having a tough year and she hasn't consistently made it this year. But she's one of those ones I give her the benefit of the doubt for the years she's done it, that she's just expected to be in there with her consistency.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Fucking
Desert Destroyer out in the semi, Delaney Vaughn.
Hold stock.
Holding stock in Delaney. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
I bet she makes a main in Argentina.
Oh, 100%. I say two.
I think it'll be a good track fit for her. It's a bit more like, it's almost kind of like a USA BMX supercross track in a way. I think she makes a main.
Okay. Count it. Put it on the board. Stamp it. Hold that stock. If you're in your little, you're making those fantasy leagues on your own, you might want to keep her on their team. That's a big point getter right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are we missing anybody else?
I don't think so. Not that Felicia. I guess we didn't talk about Felicia.
Still climbing.
Kind of just flat.
Yeah.
Kind of flat.
Yeah. It's like you expect her to be a little bit more up there.
She needs to change something. needs to change something. I don't know what she needs to change. She needs a fresh something.
Okay.
She needs to do something differently in training, or I don't know. You got to change something.
Maybe. Yeah. Let's hope something has changed and things will come around soon. Let's just hope that's a thing.
Nothing's changed because nothing's changed.
We're seeing.
We need to change. Felicia needs to change something so she can go back to winning and getting on the box consistently.
We're saying this.
Hey, here's the thing.
Yeah.
She's too good to not be battling for wins.
I agree. Seriously. 100% I agree too. Yeah, you're right.
She's so has so much skill and so much power, and she's such a great rider and true winner that she needs to change something so she can get back to that point.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree one bit.
Because whatever's happening right now in her program, whatever, it's not working. It's not. You need to change something. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If it ain't working, change something.
Change it. It's got to be changed. Yeah. Change sucks sometimes, but it can be really great. So let's change something. Let's get back on that box. We want you battling for those podiums.
All right, Felicia, we need to change something to get you back up to the top.
We're on the same team here, right? We're all under the answer
we're
expert
not talking
Claymore
shit.
Tent.
We're saying this because we know how good Felicia is and what she's capable of.
Yeah.
So change something. I don't know if you need to change your breakfast, your coach, whatever it is, your bike color, your fucking glove color, goggles. I don't know. You got to change something.
If we're putting honey in our oatmeal in the morning, that needs to start being maple syrup. Something needs to change.
Yeah, something needs to change.
Yeah. All right.
That's our rant.
Oh, we're good. Rant over.
All right. Let's get into some questions from the grandstand.
Yes, please. This will be all you. I do not have them again in front of me.
Pulling up.
While you do that, I gotta talk quickly before we get into that. A new psychopath move I realized on the weekend is people with long loops on their shoelaces. Dude, I'm telling you.
You're talking clip shoes or regular shoes?
I'm talking regular shoes. Like I'm talking those bunny ears. If your bunny ears and your shoes are hanging down the sides of your shoes and dragging on the ground, basically, you're a psychopath. Like you need to tighten those loops up and make it double. You need to double knot your shoes. Can't be doing that.
We can't have that.
I was in this rope course on the weekend. I got my ass soaked. We're outside hanging off the side of rocks on ropes, just in the pouring rain. I'm soaked. Unbelievably not happy about it one bit. And this guy in our class, nice guy, has got these like hiking style shoes on. And he just single knots his shoes and then just pulls the loops really long. And then these little loops of his shoelaces are just hanging off the sides of his shoes, basically touching the ground. And I'm like, one, that's a tripping hazard. You mean you're not going to, and then two, I'm like, that looks ridiculous, dude. What are we doing? You look like a clown. You look like an absolute clown, like double knot those things, dude. What are we doing having those hanging down like that?
You can't have that. That's an absolute hazard.
He was clearly aware of how long they were. He pulled them through to make them longer at one point. I was like, that's your shoelace technique? How does that not just come untied all the time?
You just want to be like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What are we doing? Double knot those things or tuck those inside your shoes, man. Fuck. All right. Grinding my gears for a couple days. I needed to tell somebody.
Yeah, that is frustrating. I know.
Yeah, take it.
All right. Question. Look into it. If the French system is so good, why aren't the women also dominating? That's a good question.
I think you go through shifts of waves of riders, and I think they're in the middle of a wave of the young riders who are still in the U23 junior class, and they're going to be coming up. That's my assumption.
I was going to say, I think they have some good riders coming up in the pipeline, like Leah Brinjonk. I don't know if that's her way to say her last name. One junior last year, Tessa Martinez, is also really good, obviously, in U23. So I think those two coming up will be really strong. Like you said, it comes in cycles, too.
Yeah.
Like, comes in waves.
And I will say, too, Camille wasn't in their program for a bunch of years at the start of her like elite career.
She started later, kind
of. So yeah. It's like she does. I wouldn't even count her as one of those people that's gone through their whole system. So
actually, you know what? I think she was. She was at the training center at Axe, yeah, when she was younger.
I just don't remember in the jersey, I guess, those years. So that's kind of what I think of.
From Caceres 14, Neat Keeman or Joris Dode? Well, right now, Joris.
Yeah, right now, Joris.
Bruno BMX, who do you think is going to win Argentina?
Joris and Romain.
Okay, hold the phone. We've seen what Gonzalo and Torres can do there.
We got four races, so there's a bunch of people that can win.
Okay.
Let's quickly throw quick names. This isn't like deep thought. Quick names, who are you throwing out?
Okay, Joris will win one. Yeah.
Okay.
M Miles 277. Will the USA dominate Hardesty like the French did this weekend? No.
No, no. They don't have enough riders or depth to do what France does.
I would like to see like Cam or, well, Cam, I mean, fuck, Cam Wood can win there for sure.
Yep.
I think he'll probably win one, or I think we'll definitely be battling to win one. Would love to see Cam Larson and Jay Smooth do something there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we'll see. It's a, or Corbin too. But yeah, that's a while away. Yep. But no, they won't dominate like the French did. Seb has 404. Thoughts on Arboleda taking out Romain in the quarters? I mean, he didn't take him out.
No, Romain fucked up the gate. I think maybe just like, yeah, beating him out. But yeah, Romain fucked up the gate.
Cut off, yeah.
Whatever. And then, yeah, Dave's obviously going to cut him off.
Yeah. From Brody Deerdorf 56. Do you think the pro straight being on the inside of the second straight caused riders to go slower? I didn't see it being a huge thing.
I see what he's getting at, though. Like, there was definitely nobody railing the turn and coming out flying, because if they did, they're running into the person that went under them and then blocked the line because they had to cut back to the left. So maybe. I might say yes, because that, yeah, they went a little bit slower. The guys mid-pack, sure. I know it's not a huge thing, but I'll say yeah.
From Kimmy Vadeen 18, who's the one not going to the Olympics from France? I like how we talk about this almost every week on the show.
It changes though every week too.
It's very fluid.
I think we're back to the normal three. No, dude, what about Germany?
I don't think we're back. I think we got Romain Joris for the top two, and then it's between Jeremy, Arthur, and Sylvain for third.
Jeez, hey. I know.
Who's in it now? Who's counting now? Do you know?
I can quickly look. I have it open. Have to look. I can't. I love this shit. I can't not look.
I think Pills is probably the third guy right now.
You know what's funny? I don't think Romain's counting right now, because Romain hasn't done like those little races, because you still need some kinda little races to get your bottom end points.
Does it matter if he won the Worlds this year? Like,
it will matter, yeah. But no, yes, he's not in there still. Pills is actually in there still.
Who's the three?
Joris, Sylvain, Arthur.
How far ahead is Sylvain to the Arthur?
Sylvain's at 3,200, so basically actually 33, and Pills is at 29, so like 4,000 away, which I don't know if that's a lot. I actually don't really know, but that's the thing. Like, this system is like, this shows their point getters, but the French system, they to pick their team, they only count World Cup, so Romain's only doing World
Cup. Brutal that two of those guys aren't going to get to go to the Olympics. It's like not right. It's not right. And honestly, it's not right. It's not right.
No. Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, obviously, Romain's not on here, but he's going after their. They know they're going to get the three spots or the two spots. Or yeah, so.
Yeah. Ramona Smith 529. When the GOAT takes home the gold, does he retire? I will. Okay, I don't think you can. The Olympics is a whole other thing, and there's always like people that step up. Kind of, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but people that step up. I don't, just because you're winning a lot now, it certainly doesn't mean you will win gold next summer. Like, obviously, Joris is beyond capable and will probably be a huge favorite going in, but it definitely can't stamp it. Him winning the gold at this point.
If he does, yes, I'm gonna say it. I wish he does, dude. I love storylines. Give me the storyline. That'd be fucking
unbelievable, wouldn't he?
Dude, wow. It'd be sick.
Yeah. All right, that's all we got. Thanks to ProGate Europe. Winning starts with a great gate. We'll be back next week. I guess we'll do an Argentina preview next week.
It's already that time, isn't it? They're coming, dude. The back half of the season here is just jam-packed.
Yeah, we'll do a Del Estero preview. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Awesome. Snap on green, everybody.
Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the truck.
I hate that guy.